We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're here.
I wish I could keep this feeling. I wish I could keep this feeling.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. Kel Dansby here with the old man Andreas Hale and producer Cole, baby.
Yeah, Cole.
He's around here somewhere. You'll hear his maniacal laugh here in a second. We are coming to you from Blue Wire Studios in the Wynn Resort in Las Vegas, possibly for the last time. We do not know. We don't know what's going on. I can guarantee it's the last time we're coming from the Blue Wire Studios here in the Wynn Resort. But yeah, it's a mini end of the era in here. Everyone kept it kind of on the low. But this will be our last show from the studio for at least the time being and maybe forever. It's been one hell of a ride. Want to thank everybody in the booth, everyone holding it down. Make sure you guys also go and follow Nick on Veterans Minimum because he's like the best from being in the booth and then hosting his own podcast and shit. He is the good version of what evil Cole is. Because, you know, Cole went heel, never came back. He took my DCs. So he's he's the baby face version
call
of
that
Cole.
I was, wait, hold on.
No, you were not a baby face for taking my DCs.
The heel.
No, you were the ultimate baby face,
consider me
Cole.
A hero for doing.
No. I don't like these
know,
people.
God's work here.
Not all heroes wear capes, and Cole is one of them for taking those goddamn DCs.
I don't like
DCs.
These people. I don't like these people at all. So, yeah, listen, we've thrown Cole over the desk in here several times. We're actually recording this from the small tables in here, so it looks a little different.
What did you guys do to the studio? Did you break it? Did you throw someone else through the table?
No. That's only reserved for you.
That's just you. But the table broke itself. So yeah. the table knew you were coming in.
In my honor.
Yeah, yeah. The table took a willing bump. It was like, no. No one's getting thrown through me today. I'm just going to put myself through the table.
Shield.
Yes. Yeah. So, we're in the small table today. I have raided, if anyone's been here, I'm sure several Corner Club members have recorded here in Reverse Rat Pack people. We always have drinks and stuff in the studio. So I've raided the little mini bar. You guys can hear me crack a cold one, old man cracking one. I got the Heineken in here because I know you're a beer snob.
Yeah, I can drink a Heineken. Yes. Don't be coming up here fucking Miller Lite.
Cheers to Cole.
Cheers and shit.
I'll cheers my water.
Yes, yeah. The guys over here drinking out of a Stanley. Cheers. So if you guys see me periodically drinking there in the shows, because it's the last one in studio, got the proper 12 here as well. I'm drinking that out the bottle.
Proper like a 12. Real.
Why don't you drink it out the toilet? It's the same thing.
Like a real man. Listen, don't disrespect Connor.
I'm disrespecting the whiskey. It's gross.
Is it?
It's not. Mean, it's not.
I've had better, but it's not horrible. So it's
you drink Four Locos, so.
Four Loko original recipe? Fire.
I don't give a fuck. I don't care. Fire. Just turn. No.
You don't know
your
what you're missing.
Your liver will thank you later.
I'm here for a good time, not a long time, Dre. So drinking everything. So it's like, yo, we're going out with a bang. Today's pro wrestling. We have tons of pro wrestling to talk about, but we're also just going to clown and joke because, man, that's how we got to do to end our time in the studio. But don't get it twisted. We'll still be recording. Same amount of shows every damn week. We'll be on Patreon. Probably acting more of a fool because now we're at home and we can act wild for the next month and figure out our next steps. So that'll be really cool. It's just, you know, next step in a, what is now a 9-year journey.
Long.
Yeah, it's we're in March, Dre. We're damn near March. So 9 years ago, we started this podcast.
You know, well, for the married people out there, you get married and then you roll over and look at your wife one day and be like, I'm still here. You're still here. Why is this still happening? That's how I look at you in this podcast.
Glad you think this of me.
Like all these years, it's too late to divorce you, but no, here we are.
I look at my wife every morning and be like, I'm so glad to be here. I feel like we have different perspectives of what we
know.
I mean, I'm 5 years into marriage, though. So,
I mean,
yeah, I don't foresee this changing. Yeah, I mean, I'm 9 years into this pod. So I've seen you for 9 straight years.
That's
almost every single week.
That's crazy.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I've seen anyone outside of my wife as much as I've seen you these past
years. That's true. Yep. It's also frightening. So,
Dre got the gray in the beard because he's been dealing with hot takes for 9 years.
Guy. Yeah.
Like, just singed the beard.
Bro, Marcus Vandenberg posted a picture from when we recorded at the fight shop.
Yep.
In the early days.
Moose.
Yeah. You had hair.
Yep.
I didn't have gray in my beard. Like, what is happening?
It was more frightening to see you without gray.
A completely different voice.
Yeah, that too. Over that the years, yeah.
Voice 1.0.
It's like your nuts dropped during this podcast. It's like, what happened? Like, I didn't know this podcast could make your man's nuts drop. Holy shit.
If people are new to the show and haven't heard my original voice, stay through the entire episode. Because if you're listening on the podcast, that is. On the video version on Patreon, I don't think we have video of this. But on the audio version, I feel like Dre muted me by mistake and mused both of us.
Oh,
on the audio version of this podcast, I am going to attach the Virgil interview we did 7 years ago. R.I.P. Virgil.
Rest in peace, man. Soul Train. Look, but we have to give you a fair warning. If you're listening to this podcast right now and you decide, yo, I'm going to fast forward to that Virgil interview, fair warning. Do not cancel us for what this man says.
This was before cancel culture.
Oh,
it was a different
God.
Time in this world.
Sweet Jesus.
Dre couldn't believe this shit when it happened.
I couldn't.
In 2024, out of context, no one's believing this shit. But we're throwing it at the end of this episode for shits and giggles, man. Like, it's been a long time since then, and it holds up. It's still the wildest interview we've ever done.
So. It is 100% the wildest interview we've done.
Yeah, so it's a wrestling pod. I was like, fuck it, we're throwing this at the end. But yeah, we're gonna have a good time. We're starting with WWE, though, because I want to give more time to AEW at the end. So I figured, yo, let's do a recap. Elimination Chamber was last weekend. I'm going to start real quick before I let Dre give his grade, Cole give his grade. I'm not giving a grade to this pay-per-view. I enjoyed it. Don't have a grade. The best part of this whole damn pay-per-view is Logan Paul.
Yes.
And it's weird because The Miz is so accomplished. He's what The Miz always wanted to be.
Yeah.
He's better in every way. And I think he's here to stay. Like this, he is a professional wrestler, not just a sports entertainer. And he's really fucking good at this.
Yeah. I mean, the clip that surfaced that WWE posted today with Logan faking a back injury to wait to get his opportunity at Randy Orton.
Oh, the camera angle of that RKO is perfect.
But then he tells the referee, I tricked you. And the referee's like, you didn't trick me. He's like, I did. Between that and him, with the marker on the board.
Oh.
Also, Kevin Owens was spectacular in Elimination Chamber. These are guys that were clearly there to just have fun.
Yep.
They were like, we're just going to make the most of it. When Randy Orton is standing on top.
Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, and Kevin is like looking at him and he's like, bruh. It was great. Like these guys were just having a blast. Now, the chamber itself, the event, what do we get? 5 matches in damn near 3 hours?
4, if you don't count the pre-show.
It was pretty long for as few matches as there was in the card.
It was long. And
well, each match was almost, I got the rundown. So it was 30 minutes per chamber, 35 per chamber. And then we had a 17-minute match, a 14-minute match. So everybody got time. And then we had a full-ass segment with Cody and Rollins.
That being said, it's the second pay-per-view in a row where they have 2 of the same match that lasts a very long time.
Yeah.
Like, you have the Royal Rumble is 2 of the same match, lasts a very long time, Elimination Chamber. They need to move the Elimination Chamber somewhere else on the calendar.
Where?
I don't know. Pick one. I just feel like to have these
that's
two
for events, a title. Like,
It doesn't have to be. Like, I'm just saying, like, Royal Rumble's the same pay-per-view. Two Royal Rumbles and, like, two matches.
Yeah.
And this is the same thing. I didn't care for this that much. The chamber was predictable. It was pretty obvious Drew McIntyre was going to win. Like I said last week, I was just trying to figure out how do we get rid of Randy Orton because he hasn't been pinned or didn't get pinned clean. Very strange they set up a Randy Orton-Logan Paul feud.
I'm not sure they're going to feud. It's kind of just like, you RKO'd me.
Nah. You don't do this. You got, what, 6 weeks to Mania? Four weeks to Mania? They're absolutely
I mean, Kevin Owens, he was mocking Kevin Owens, so that feud's still there.
Maybe it's a triple threat. But no, like, you cost Randy a shot at the championship. That is the feud. LA Knight's going to be working AJ Styles.
Yeah, we saw that.
I thought LA Knight should be working Logan Paul.
I watched it live with Cole, and Cole's like, they're leaving the door open. I was like, what? He's like, the door is open. The door is open still. And I was just like, okay. And then AJ Styles.
Yeah. So the men and women's winners of the chambers were obvious.
Yeah.
The only thing that we were wondering is like, the only thing I asked you last week, who's getting eliminated first? Right? Like that's all we want to know. What is the order of elimination? It dictates the pecking order moving forward. And Tiffany Stratton had a great outing. Yep.
I went out earlier, like you said.
I was surprised Naomi went out first, but it is what it is. Somebody got to go. Mm-hmm. I knew Bobby Lashley was getting out of there first. he's just here.
He didn't make sense.
Like,
yeah.
What's he doing here?
So Bronson Reed's spot, they were just like, yo, go out there.
Yeah, just go out there, eat a Claymore and call it a night. What else was there? And the Rhea Ripley, Nia Jax match was fine.
It was all right.
It was a good homecoming match for Rhea. The crowd was hot. Strange, though, the crowd wasn't as hot for her as they were for Zelina Vega in Puerto Rico. They were hot. Don't get me wrong, but that Puerto Rico crowd,
yeah, it's
was
different.
Unbelievable.
It's an open air stadium, so it's hard to get that same acoustics and vibe. Like it's just the crowd could have been as hot, but you got to be four times as hotter, like hotter than that, to get that same like acoustic. And no one was on the level of Bad Bunny.
No, nobody. He's a global superstar. But I'm saying like Zelina. You could see it in the crowd. You didn't even just have to hear it. You could see it. Like, yes, they loved Rhea. I'm not saying that it was muted in any way. It was a homecoming, but that Puerto Rico crowd was so hot.
That crowd might have been even hotter for EO. They loved EO in Puerto
They weren't
Rico.
Hotter for EO than Selena.
Oh, it was close. I don't think. Go back. They had chance and everything.
They were hot.
That crowd had energy to spare. Like, I think the thing was, is like between like the beginning, the middle, the end, because Zelina was somewhere in the middle and then you had Bad Bunny at the end and they were ready for that.
Yeah.
I think maybe in this case, because you had two long chamber matches, just kind of the pay-per-view was already feeling pretty long by the time we got to Rhea. And I think also like knowing that, yes, there were stakes, but it was pretty predictable. Like we knew what the result was going to be. So like there wasn't really like a cast of doubt. But I do think there's credence to the fact that it was it's a cricket stadium.
Yeah. Yeah. That thing is huge. Correctly.
Like that is like even more open than like a regular NFL stadium that you would see. So like obviously a lot of people, but all that sound is just going straight up. So, you know, I think like she got, like certainly like the desired reaction. She certainly felt it. Like you could see it in her face. So I think all in all, like mission accomplished as far as, you know, taking one of your biggest and best champs and kind of giving them a moment.
Great job, you know, letting her headline too.
Oh, they had to, man. That's what I said. Like they had to, but all in all, I give this pay-per-view a C. It was wildly predictable. It was like, I'm watching it, but what am I watching it for? There's no real surprises.
They made the most out of something that you knew what was going to happen.
You knew what was going to happen. They did it in Australia. It was a big event. And then it was like a commercial for Australia too.
Yeah.
That, you know, Corey Graves giving like, hey, Australia's amazing. I was like, man, maybe I should go to Australia. I was like, I get what this is.
Kevin Owens walked in with a koala.
Yeah.
Like, they did that. He carried a koala into the stadium.
He's incredible. That guy's incredible. So, yeah, I give it a C. It wasn't offensive, but it wasn't like, I'm not going to be talking about this at the end of the year.
That's fair. Cole?
Yeah, I think C as well. Because again, and it's always tricky with these pay-per-views. Some like these pay-per-views in particular leading up to WrestleMania always kind of have a little bit of this like I don't want to say predetermined because obviously wrestling, but like you kind of have an idea of where things are going, yeah. and everything's building up. They're appetizers, so to speak, for a pay-per-view rather than once you get past pay-per-view, every single kind of PLE has its own kind of flavor and kind of big stakes attached to it, right? So it's like ultimately, you know, this is kind of the stepping stone to Mania. But I think even though it was predictable, the good news is that I think the things that we were kind of hoping to see out of it happen. Drew McIntyre wins. Hate. I think Tiffany Stratton getting the heat check was something like when Kel and I were watching it, but we're calling for it immediately. She's getting chanted for in the, when she's in the bubble. So, and obviously Becky winning, Rhea having her moment, that there was a tag match there. We got to see Pete Dunne again, have his name again. And anytime we see that, that's great. But yeah, I think very, very just kind of middle of the road, kind of knowing that we're all just kind of gearing up for Philly at this point.
Would it have been better if Punk wasn't injured? Because we would have known what was going to happen. But do you think it would have just...
I mean, it would have kicked it up a notch. Obviously, totally. Punk would have won the chamber and Drew wouldn't have.
Yeah, but we would have still known. But that's why I'm wondering, like... Because it would have still been predetermined, but maybe it would have just been...
It just was wildly predictable. That's all. It was like so predictable. And again, Rhea Ripley versus Nia Jax was like a great main event for a SmackDown. It just happened that Rhea's in her backyard. So, you know, Nia Jax does the Big Show treatment or, you know, loses.
Yeah.
So it was fine. Now, the segment with Cody and Seth, with Grayson Waller and Austin Theory. Austin Theory was great, by the way, in this segment.
Yeah. Austin Theory isn't bad.
No, he's not bad at all.
Anymore. They just need to find where he fits.
He's not bad at all. He's good.
Rushing him to the top.
Vince ruined him. Also, before we talk AEW, I don't know if you saw the Matt Riddle interview on the Helwani show on the MMA Hour.
No. I've seen like little quotes, not even clips.
Buddy.
I just heard he was doing cocaine.
He was twice. But there's other stuff to talk about. But yeah, Vince ruined Austin Theory. It's pretty simple. But that segment, I'm still like, what are we doing? Right?
Yeah. I found out nothing.
Like every week I'm learning more of nothing. Like you're just wasting my time. It's not even wasting my time. Oh, the segment was fine. Like The Rock cutting a promo is fine, but it's not going anywhere yet.
No, we have 4 weeks. Tell me something.
Give me anything.
Let me know.
He's like, I got your back. All it kind of tells
me
is that I'm starting to lean towards now Seth turning on Cody at some point. Like all this, I got your back. And then Seth with Drew McIntyre, we got to watch out for the bloodline. And all this Seth talk is starting to make me wonder if there's going to be some kind of turn at Mania if they do this tag match where he compromises Cody. Right? But I don't know. I still don't know what the hell we're doing. I don't even know what we're doing on that
I just
one.
Want to know that we're doing the tag match.
I don't want that tag match.
No, but Rock has to wrestle. I don't want to see Cody versus Rock one-on-one.
Yeah, at this point, just give us something. Yeah, it's all just hypothetical. Like, it's like, yeah, they're throwing weight. Well, we also want to fight. Two, yeah,
and but
it's
like, who's that's gonna like the fight? Promo. Yeah,
yes. Yeah, and no one, and like again, like Rock came out and, as Dre pointed out correctly and accurately, gave kind of a super mid promo and didn't do anything. So
Cole,
like,
is not a fan of The Rock's last promo.
It wasn't great. It was Rusty Rock. Rusty Rock, without any notes, that went out there and started on the wrong note. He should have trashed Utah and talked about Michael Jordan from the jump.
So here's the thing. He got the whole, like the metaphor that he was going for with the Jazz and the Bulls was all right there. And he didn't take it. The Jazz got beat by the Bulls twice. What are you trying to do to Cody? Beat him twice when he gets to the finals. And he couldn't make that connection? Come on, Rock. What are you doing? What are they paying on you all this money for? Give it to me.
He talked about the 49ers in a non-football town.
Football team.
Utah ain't got no goddamn football team. They don't care. Like, we worry about the Jazz. We're not worried about the 49ers and the Chiefs.
I can call the University of Utah the U, and it's the biggest bane of my existence.
It was a bad Rusty promo by The Rock. Like, he insulted the crowd. And
it got back online when he did.
It, It wasn't great. It was one of his, it was just very clearly like The Rock was, oh yeah, I got to do a heel promo. I haven't done one of these in a while. And it showed. But ultimately that whole segment was like, whatever, 20 minutes of my time.
I get to redo on Friday because they're going to cut another promo.
Just tell me something. Just please.
Yeah. Something.
I hope Solo talks. I hope Solo is like, man, what the fuck is going on? That's what I want Solo to do. Just come out.
Man, I'm confused. What am I doing in this? I got to know where I got to interfere.
Yeah, he's like, God damn, I don't have no match. I ain't got nothing. Would y'all tell me something?
Who am I going to beat up?
God damn, I got this thumb just going to sit here forever. Like, I got to use it on something.
Shout out to Littlefoot, who's trying to start the movement of the foam thumbs with the tape. Like, how are they missing out on this merch opportunity? Because I would 100% be at Mania with the Solo Sikoa just taped up foam thumb.
And everybody would be like, who's that guy with the thumbs up everywhere?
Everywhere. That shit's money. So please, somebody listen to her. We need that for Mania season. So we didn't find out much from Elimination Chamber.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
AEW on the flip side.
Hold on. I got to talk about this Matt Riddle.
Oh, shit. Okay, Matt Riddle.
Did you see any of this?
I've seen the bits and the pieces and heard the certain drug.
Okay.
Is it worse than the CVV?
Yeah, I mean, he talks about more. Like, he's very candid about his use of cocaine is the reason why he got fired and went to rehab. He said he used it once and then, like he got caught once.
Okay, I've been told there is no such thing as using cocaine
there's
once.
There's never, no.
But I don't think it's that type of
he
drug.
He got caught the first time and they sent him to rehab. And when he thought he was free, he started working again. And then he used cocaine again. They did a surprise drug test and that's what got him fired. But he talks about the difference between Hunter and Vince.
Ever stop doing cocaine then?
No, you don't. Like,
right.
No, you don't. And, you know, Riddle was talking about I was going through a hard time, you know, didn't once again to see my kids, blah, blah, blah. That sure. He was very candid about that in a very Matt Riddle fashion. Then he starts talking about the difference between Hunter and Vince when it comes to weekly booking. And he's like, when Hunter's doing it, if whatever's on the paper, that's what we're doing. He's like, you find it out on Friday, you show up on Monday, nothing's really changed unless there's an injury or something like that. Like, you're doing what is written. And Ariel's like, well, what about Vince? You don't know what's happening. Whatever's written on the paper Friday is not what's happening on Monday. And I'm so glad he said it because I've known this for years. Like, I've known for years what, like, talking to talent, like, bro, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, they'll say, well, what's the angle? Vince will change everything throughout the week. And the way Riddle breaks it down is hilarious. Because then Matt Riddle starts going, maybe he was doing it on purpose to keep us on our toes. And I'm like, nah, the man was just old and senile. And he just, what was I doing last week? I don't care. let's have Bobby Lashley smack his butt cheeks on camera. Like,
your next idea is always your best idea. And Vince ran with that shit.
He was like, I got so many next ideas.
every day is another opportunity.
Let's do a cuckold angle. Like, one day, now that Vince is out of here.
Rusev still hasn't recovered. And he's in a different company. Still ain't recovered from that angle.
I need the wrestlers involved in these bad angles to be open and honest about what happened.
Netflix is doing that Vince doc.
No, they're not.
It has to.
No, they're not.
Did they scrap it?
They've been scrapped it.
I heard it was still ongoing.
Do you think with them acquiring Raw that they're going to be running a Vince McMahon documentary on Netflix? No. They've been can't. Like, as soon as because this was all before the allegations.
I swear I read somewhere that they were going to intertwine this.
No.
And they just had to keep creating new content.
No, you think Vince is going to participate in his own demise on Netflix?
No, of course not. Vince is out.
He was supposed to be a part of this documentary on Netflix. That's why it was happening. Nothing happens without Vince saying it's okay.
Like a fluff piece?
No. I mean...
Yeah. It wasn't going to be... Yeah.
I thought it was Bill Simmons' leg.
It was going to be like what the untold, like the Florida Gators story. Like, there's so much stuff that was left out about Urban Meyer and that team. It's a good documentary.
Yeah.
But there was so much stuff that was left out because you had to have Urban Meyer. Like, they just conveniently left out Aaron and Hernandez throughout that piece.
Oh, right.
You know what I'm saying? So if Vince was going to be a part of his own documentary, there's no way. There's no way they would touch half of that stuff.
I need someone now. I just, like, kind of like Dark Side of the Ring, but all Vince.
Oh, it will happen.
And I just need, just go through the catalog of, okay, we need four people who worked with Vince in the 80s for like three episodes. And then three episodes of four people who worked with him in the 90s. Get Brett. Like, all this, like, I need the 90s story told of Vince. And then the 2000s PG era Vince. And then senile as fuck Vince with everybody who just got cut.
None of this will happen until the lawsuit is over. Because nobody can just run out here and talk. They're all going to get called in. Everybody is going to court.
Like, subpoenaed everybody?
Yes.
How many people can you subpoena? I don't know about this
legal.
As
many as it takes to get the job done.
There's no limit.
Really?
Yes.
That's a long fucking court case.
Limit does not exist.
Yeah. Wow. That's why a lot of this stuff will end up settling out of court, blah, blah, blah. But the fact of the matter is, like, that Vince documentary on Netflix is never... It was Bill Simmons was doing it.
Yeah, I thought it was a Bill Simmons.
Yeah, but it's not going to be a hit piece. It was never going to be. It was going to be, you know, like the role of how I made WrestleMania and, you know, what a great job I did.
Steroids, remember that? Like, yeah. That's probably where they were going to go.
Like, five-minute steroid trial. And then back to... Attitude error. We saved it.
No, I didn't cover up Jimmy Snuka murdering his wife. Like it's going to be that. No, I didn't provide drugs for Hulk Hogan under a false name. I did. What are we talking about? I was a good guy.
Trying to get an intern to sleep with Brock Lesnar. She's not an intern, but I believe she's
What Sable thinks about all this with Brock?
You think, honestly, fuck it. You think she's surprised?
No.
No.
It's not that she's surprised. It's getting embarrassed is the issue. That's always the issue with cheating or doing, like, if everybody's on board with it, that's cool. But once it gets out to the public and somebody embarrasses you, because you got a kid, your daughter's the one's getting embarrassed, and she's still out there throwing a shot put like 870.
She just won two more gold medals or some shit.
She got shit else to do. Her dad's like, I ain't going nowhere. Yeah. I ain't going to work.
No, and he got plenty of money to sit on a fucking farm and do
nothing.
Throw
that metal ball, sweetheart.
But embarrassment comes with the perception of that it wasn't agreed upon between them two. Because maybe the world didn't know, but who fuck knows? It's pro wrestling. She'd be like, yo, listen, you can hit everything moving. I'm hitting everything moving. We live on a fucking farm. Like, we might be just doing this willy-nilly
every week.
You don't
think a crime is embarrassing?
The criminal aspect.
That's what I'm talking about. It's not just like you did something.
Brock part of the crime?
I mean, if they're like running trains on women and interns, yeah.
That does not mean that Brock knew.
Stop.
That.
Stop.
I don't know. But again, I'm just going off of the retort of fucking what's his face, the right hand man, who's weird.
You're going to have to be more specific.
Laurinaitis.
You just threw out a bunch of weird.
Laurinaitis.
Yeah.
Laurinaitis was like, yo, I'm also a victim. Right? And it's crock of shit. But it could come down to of Vince is like, yo, and I'm not saying this is the case, but I'm not saying this isn't the case. I don't fucking know. But on Brock's end, Vince would be like, yo, you know the hot chick from the office? Yo, I got you. Come through. You do whatever you want. Oh, word? Yeah, now she's really been feeling you. Like, yo, you're Brock Lesnar. Like, she wants to get in. All right, fuck, I'm coming through. What time? And then Brock can go, but he doesn't know, like, the ins and outs of what Vince really fucking did, right? Like, so there could be, like, deception on multiple angles here. Or he could have knew the whole fucking thing. But, yeah, like, criminally, Vince is definitely the criminal here. I don't know what he said to other people.
You, the second you're entangled in shit, it's
somewhat embarrassing. But and Brock's not going to come out and say anything weird.
It's just, but all of it is just like a horrible situation. Anyway.
Do you think Brock Lesnar, the man who left Raw when Vince got arrested, yeah. You think Brock Lesnar...
He threw a fit in the back, right?
Yeah, he threw a fit for daddy. Yeah, he left. I'm just saying, you think he didn't? Like, there's
no, he knew. He knew dirty.
Brock Lesnar and there's Bret Hart, right?
Yeah, he knew dirty Vince.
Like, Bret Hart looks better every day.
Yeah, no.
Every day that something happens, Bret Hart's like, yeah, a piece of shit. Like, he stayed out of that, all that shit. Brock Lesnar was in the mix.
I take it back.
Brock, he was on private jets with Vince.
He was enthralled by the nastiness of Vince.
So that's what I'm saying. The embarrassment part comes in. It's like, damn, like, now our family looks bad. Because you couldn't, you know, you had to go smash interns.
It made a deal with the devil. That shit comes out sometimes, you know. It made him a lot of money.
Well, I think, you know, unfortunately, as it all unfolds, we're going to see who all really, because I mean, as far as the people who are connected to Vince, like those people are still feeling that connection, whether they want to or not, where all of them are kind of scared of their livelihood because they feel like they owe their lives to this guy. Yeah. Right. That's why you have John Cena when he gets asked about it being
real
coy about it and not really intentionally saying anything bad about Vince, even when the writing is on the wall of like, dude,
probably still feels like Vince can make three calls and bury him.
100%. So it's like, scary. What do all, you know, it's scary. Really, yeah. It's scary for the people connected. It's scary, obviously, for the people involved. And it's an incredibly sensitive situation. So like, and we won't know anything more until either the case ends or Vince passes away before the case can even end.
Oh yeah. Like now it's weird. Cause I'm always of the belief that like old people, like if they have something to live for, will continue to kind of live on and it keeps you alive. Scary hours for Vince right now. Cause he ain't doing shit all day. Like he about to age a million years and he can never bring back that mustache.
He will continue to bring back that mustache. You think he lives in the real world?
I don't know.
Like that mustache is so like, it's his disguise. He probably twists it at the tips like a fucking cartoon villain. Like he's crazy. Dastardly.
Man,
he's old. He's rich. He thinks he's going to beat these charges. And for the most part, he probably will. Like it's a civil case. They're going to settle. Yeah. It's going to be hard to prove anything criminal without a rape kit. There's a lot of things that go into all this, but legacies are tarnished. Right? That's what
isn't
this
is. Isn't it a sex trafficking case now? Yes. It's kind of like the R. Kelly shit. Like you don't need a rape kit, right?
There's a lot. Like everything. Yeah, there's a lot to go into prove it. Like everything's like a lot of this is going to be civil. It's not going to be criminal unless it gets escalated. And civil cases, they settle out of court because you have to pay. Yeah, pay. That's how you hurt people, right? Like people say, well, don't settle out of court. Take them to criminal. That's not how this shit works. You guys got to stop watching Law and Order. It doesn't tell you anything. But Vince is going to be Vince, like, and he's going to fight this. He's going to believe he's innocent and the people that roll with him. It's like we said on a few podcasts ago, if your dad's doing a bunch of foul shit and he's still your dad, it's really hard to talk really bad about your dad.
Yeah.
For some people. Not for everybody.
Nah.
But, you know, like, John Cena is like, yeah, you know, I still love him. You know, I was really close to him. And then it's like, he goes home. I was like, man, this motherfucker.
That's it. But I owe everything to him.
Yeah. Like, I owe like, my between, career. Like, it's tough.
Yeah, that's fucking wild. And but I hope there's more people like Matt Riddle. I'll check out that interview today. And like I want something.
I don't know if I hope there's more people like Matt Riddle. The man got popped twice doing cocaine.
Not with the cocaine.
And Japan was like, you know what? You should win a title. And they just get like immediately.
There was no weed in Japan.
I mean, you think anything's gonna stop Riddle from doing what he gotta do? Riddle can't function without marijuana.
Oh, he can
that
do
man it. Is half baked.
Oh no, he can do enough shrooms to fucking take his face off for like a week. Yeah, that guy would be on the moon. Just listen to nothing but Kid Cudi.
What do you mean? What do you mean he would be on? He is on the moon.
Oh yeah, I would love to interview Matt Riddle and be like, yo, when's the last time you were sober, off of like everything, like just sober?
He's the guy on the couch. Just happens to wrestle.
He wrestles his ass off, but he's, yeah, but I, that's a part of business where the curtain could be pulled back and I'm very interested. Sometimes it like,
booking is concerned, yeah.
Yeah, like it sometimes in the moment, it like bothers me because it ruins like some of the mystique and ambiance. And you say this shit all the time. You're like, yo, I got friends in the industry. And I'll be like, yo, don't tell me what's going to happen. And maybe like revisionist, then you'll hit them, like, you know, then be like, okay, like, yeah, what was the process, blah, blah. But you hate that in the moment. Like, yo, don't tell me. Even with like your closest people in the industry, like, yo, don't fucking tell me. Like, some stuff is like too in the moment. This Vince shit, now that he's gone and like weird, and you see the dichotomy between him and Trips, and there's enough of a sample size where there's a legit difference, pull that shit the whole way back. I want to see like, yeah, like how weird was he at the end? Yeah. Just professionally. I know he's a creep, but like professionally, like how fucking crazy did it get?
That was a maniac.
Yo, just pitching him like good ideas and he's just like, fuck that, Shorty G. It's just
Shorty G.
Man.
I mean, there has to be like just a whole thing about some of these awful angles and these gimmicks that these guys were, and girls were giving.
Oh, Butch is not even Shorty G.
Shorty G was like
the most egregious thing he's done in the past 5 years, and I know it's a rip. I just need to know,
of course, it was who
he was, who he was going at.
Vince hates short wrestlers. Hates them. I've heard so many stories over the years about the people
that
he hates.
Danielson going in the office and be like, yo, this fucking guy Gable, I understand he is that dude. And then Vince is like, Gable? All right, we're going to give him push. And they'll be like, Danielson's like, yeah, fuck yeah. Goes to Gable. He's like, yo, they're pushing you next week. Gable's like, what? They're pushing you. Be on SmackDown. Gable shows up and be like, take these shorts. You ever play basketball? It's like, what? He's like a 5 foot fucking five. What do you mean? Ah, that's what's funny about it, Shorty G. And then it's just like, what the fuck?
I mean, I got,
I think you nailed it right on the head.
It's so ridiculous. Like, I want to ask Bobby Lashley, he was like, hey man, how did Vince present this? You slapping your butt cheeks in front of everybody.
Playing the congos on your cheeks.
Yeah, like you slapped your butt cheeks like that. And you just went with it. Yeah, I didn't have a choice. And like Leo Rush, I got to hear, like, you had to hype this man up as he slapped his cheeks. He slapped his butt cheeks. One of the most muscular men in the business, an imposing figure, came out, turned to the camera,
bent over,
and slapped his cheeks. There is no universe where this is imposing or intimidating to anybody that he's getting ready to fight. If I was like, yo, Kel, let's fight. And then you met me in the, like on some Street Fighter shit, right? And I jumped out and I turned around and slapped my cheeks.
To present yourself like a baboon.
Yeah, this is some very pause-worthy shit happening here. This is what Vince McMahon thought of Bobby Lashley.
The first reaction is not to run away and cower in fear. To laugh my ass off.
Yeah. This big buffoon just slapped his cheeks.
That's what's fucking crazy. And like somewhat genius about that, because you can't laugh at him because he's scary as fuck. So the guy can like slap his cheeks. You'd be like, well, I can't laugh at him because then he doesn't beat the shit out of him. So you just got to watch and entertain him slapping his cheeks.
It's just so ridiculous. It's, like, how did Vince present to Nakamura? Like, hey, why don't you just hit people in the nuts every week? Like, Nakamura spent like 6 months just low blows after the AJ Styles shit. He was like, just once? He was like, no, every week, every match.
Here's three things I need. I need to know the ninja storyline, because there was like literally a bunch of ninjas running through SmackDown at some point.
Go ahead.
I need to know Retribution and all the wild Mace and T-Bar.
Yeah, I need
to know this.
Unbelievable names.
I need to know this. The last one, I need to know, and I need a full fucking documentary. Raw Underground. I need a full in-depth expose on how the hell Raw Underground came to be and why was it the last hour of Raw. And that's probably a Shane McMahon story.
It is a Shane McMahon story.
Why? How? How did you convince Vince? Give me the last hour.
It's his son. I mean, there was a reason why it never came back again. But yeah, I mean,
there's a lot of weird shit.
You gotta think the pandemic was really some fuck shit, right?
Tozawa got fed to a shark.
Well, no. I mean, yeah, that's great, but Seth Rollins took Rey Mysterio's eye out.
Yeah.
And then
they showed it.
And then not fuck that. Then they threw him off the roof. They did. They killed Rey Mysterio. They treated that motherfucker like too. Kenny from the South Park. They murdered his ass, his little ass, every week.
Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
He murdered two men. Threw him off Titan Tower.
Just killed him.
It said, never be seen again. Threw him right off the edge of Titan Tower.
So I have to know.
You're back next week. See Monday.
Yeah. I have to know, like, if you're a wrestler and you come to work and then, you know, like actors and shit, they come in and it's like, oh, they're killing my character today. And then you, Rey Mysterio is like, oh, they're throwing me off the roof. Am I dead, Vince? No, you'll be back in 2 weeks. Like,
how,
sir?
Make this make sense.
Well, I got to get your eye taken out by Seth Rollins, so I need you back. Like, what are we doing? Like, what is going on? Like, I need all the angles. I need the
zero continuity.
Like, Triple H, like, having sex with a corpse in a casket. I need to know how that happened. I need Vince McMahon came up with some crazy stuff.
Mark Henry had a child that was just.
Yes, Mae Young had a hand. Mae Young had a hand. What else do we have? There's so many stories.
Oh, so many. Val Venus.
Got his choppy his pee off. And then wrestle next week. I'm never wrestling again.
That might be the wildest shit I've ever seen.
It was up
and
there.
Like,
I don't know.
As
the Kane, the corpse.
That's the wildest shit.
Triple H, like, throwing the brains out of the casket with Kane's. Yeah. That was wild.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. Can we talk about AEW? I've had enough of this.
Oh, my God. Big Show's dad getting drunk from the back of the fucking thing.
Oh, and him jumping on the casket.
On the casket. Yo. Really, there needs to be. I would want to. I need to see a documentary on all the acts of violence committed to Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, you have to.
Because that man just is like every single week, is just like, how can we throw the little guy around?
They strapped him to a board. And Big Show used him like a baseball bat on the corner post. Like, Vince got a kick out of just murdering this little dude. Him and Zach Gowen with the one leg. And Brock Lesnar just murdering this little guy.
God.
You can't do that in 2020. You shouldn't have been able to do it back then.
There was a small people battle royal.
Well, there was always those. Those have existed since like the beginning.
Santina Marella.
Yeah. Winning the Divas title.
Yo.
Winning the Divas title.
Drag. Like, there was like.
They didn't act like it was drag. He just. Like, everybody acted like. It was okay. My man showed up in a dress.
But that's just shit that, like, literally they booked for at least 25 years, Attitude Era on, just to pop Vince.
I mean.
On just like, yo, Vince would think this shit's funny.
Vince popped Vince. These weren't things that, I promise you, these weren't things people wrote. These are things that they wrote. Vince read and was like, well, she should give birth to a hand now, shouldn't he?
Is this a natural progression?
I mean, it just sounds like that's why we need to have these stories. We got to have these
stories.
Oh, my
God. All right. Yeah, we got to talk AEW. That's fucking fun. AEW Revolution.
Sorry, AEW is so much more boring than Vince booking crazy shit.
Wild. AEW has 9 matches announced. They're killing me. I just went for 4 matches tonight.
Are they doing the buy-in again?
Can we get a happy medium? None of these matches say buy-in. No. So I'm assuming there's another 2 on the
Friday,
buy-in.
Friday or Saturday, they'll come up with something.
I'm not even counting those. Yeah. So right. I'll go through this. Keep going. They have a meaty man match.
That's not happening anymore.
That's not happening.
It was canceled.
Yeah, they're injuries. Who got hurt?
There wasn't enough meaty men for a meaty man match?
I mean, it was Lance Archer, Wardlow, and Powerhouse Hobbs. Which, by the way, Powerhouse Hobbs has looked phenomenal as of late. That match with Sammy Guevara was excellent.
Talk about a man taking crazy bumps. Sammy Guevara.
He's amazing. He's been a maniac.
He's a maniac.
But yeah. Powerhouse Hobbs has looked so good.
He's somewhere from
the Have you noticed he slimmed down a bit, too?
Really? Because he still looks fucking huge.
He's lean. He's like leaning out, but he's still like massive.
Him and Big E's chest are just...
It doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense.
It don't make sense.
Like, I don't know how you have that much just depth in your chest cavity.
There's nothing I can do. There's nothing.
Ever.
If I went to the doctor and I was like, yo, I want that man's chest. It was like, I ain't got enough saline,
nothing.
Silicone.
Not like my De La Hoya abs.
Yeah.
Can't buy that.
No.
I'm a big dude. My chest would never be... Just like,
I don't even know how you carry that and not wear a bra.
Yeah. How?
Yeah, man.
How do you just wake up one day and be like, look at these fucking chesticles?
Do girls want to? I don't know. We can move on.
We got so many questions for E. Yeah.
But he's legit. He looks great in the ring, is the point.
Yeah, no, okay. Phenomenal. So no medium. Man. I was just wondering, because this first match is All-Star Scramble match.
Yeah, that's what replaced it.
Yeah. I thought the Meaty Men match was going to lead to this. I thought they just moved it to Friday. Okay, Meaty Men are injured. But now we have the All-Star Scramble match. Chris Jericho, Wardlow, Powerhouse Hobbs, Lance Archer. That's a lot of meaty people. Brian Cage, Magnus, okay, Dante Martin and Hook. Dante Martin is going to be sacrificed.
Of course he is.
To this match. But looking at that, winner gets an AEW World Championship match. None of these people right now need an AEW championship match because none of them are going to win. Yep. And Chris Jericho helps nobody. Why the hell is he in here?
Because he's Chris Jericho.
So he's got to be on the card somewhere.
He has to be.
Really?
Yes, he has to.
Are we at this point?
That's where we're at with Chris Jericho.
Yeah. They pay him a lot of money, I guess.
They pay him a lot of money and he's done a lot. He's done a lot of business. No matter what you say about Chris Jericho, he's been the reason why AEW even exists. That being said, he does not need to win this match. I don't know who's going to win. It's going to be somebody that's going to get sacrificed as a champ, right?
Yeah.
So it's a matter of, do you want somebody to look good getting sacrificed as a champ? Hook's already had a great opportunity at Samoa Joe. So it probably won't be him. I don't know who it's going
to
be.
Really counted Samoa Joe to be the champion. All right.
I don't know why you keep disrespecting Samoa Joe.
I like Samoa Joe. I just think he was a great intermediate.
He's not.
But... No, I agree with you. Cole, who do you think wins? Or is there like a natural person to win this? Or is it a complete toss-up?
Did I even pick anybody?
No, I'm just
how
taking...
How you going to fucking agree with me and I didn't pick nobody?
No, I agree with you on the the point of they're
made.
Going...
We agree.
Whoever wins is just going to be sacrificed right, to the champion. Right. No one here is going to be champion by winning this fucking match.
That's better.
But so I agree with you on that, you know, on that point, but... Yeah, I don't know who's going to win. There's logical reasons. To me, it's a heat check, right? But you give someone some momentum going into the heat check instead of just randomly booking them against the champ. Okay, you have some momentum. You get a hope spot or two. Maybe in your fantasy world of Samoa Joe still being champion, maybe, you know, they get pinned by or choked out by Samoa Joe, and then Samoa Joe gets jumped by like a swerve and you continue the feud out.
Okay, so here's who can't win. Wardlow can't win. Whenever he gets his opportunity of the title, it won't be here.
Lance Archer's not winning.
No, Lance Archer could win.
Yeah.
Because he'll fight for the title on some random Dynamite. Like, it doesn't say when it's going to be. Jericho could win. He doesn't need to, but he could win. And it'd be a main event of like Grand Slam or some shit. Like, I don't know.
Pick Jericho, to me, only wins if Swerve wins and you just want like a name for Swerve to go over quick to establish like a quick win as champion.
I'm bored talking about this because it doesn't matter.
Cole, who you at?
Between the confines of the question you were asking and the confines of who is in this match, it's like, put a name in a hat and draw it out. And so I'm going to say Lance Archer.
FTR versus Blackpool Combat Club.
These guys are going to beat the shit out of each other.
It's going to be a match.
Like, this is...
There's some match. Some of the matches on this card, there's some people are going to get the shit kicked out of them. There's some hard-hitting matches in this.
You're drinking that proper 12. You're disgusting.
Oh, Dre.
Out the bottle.
I'm not gonna lie to you.
I told you.
That wasn't.
I warned you.
That ain't hit like I thought it was gonna hit.
I told you.
It gave me the rock, like pointed at my arm.
That ain't goosebumps. That's a reverse goosebumps.
Ooh.
Look,
boy.
I'm gonna pick FTR because they kind of need this win. Mm-hmm. And I can see Claudio getting pinned and it's okay. But yeah, these guys are gonna beat the hell out of this man. To Cole's point, this might be a pay-per-view we will talk about at the end of the year. The way this thing is lined up, this is loaded. But I'm going to pick FTR.
I guess I'll go next. I'd like Colby the tiebreaker. I'm going to pick Blackpool Combat Club. Not because like FTR couldn't use it and they're not, obviously, they're the more invested tag team. But stupid fucking dirt sheets got to me. And
stop
I think one of them have a, I don't know. I don't know if it's Dax or the other one. Has a court case coming up. He had a gun and some weird shit that he has to beat. So
he just used that as a reason to lose. Yeah, he's going to court.
No, yeah, but it's just one of those things. Like, yo, go let him have his like court case for a second and then come back.
He'll be back for Dynamite. Like the court case will be on Monday. He'll wrestle on Dynamite Wednesday.
No, we gotta let that man handle business. So give me Blackpool Combat Club. And then, yeah, then you can heat him right back up in like a month or two. Just let him handle his business.
To be clear, it doesn't matter who wins this match. Neither of them are going to lose any momentum.
No, it's just going to be a great match.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, agreed. I'm going to pick Blackpool Combat Club just because I believe that they could have an angle for future tag belts that FTR has maybe already done before. So, honestly, like this match is going to rule. Like, yep. That's really like a lot of these matches on the card. Like, I kind of just look at them and I go, like, I really don't care who wins. I'm going to be entertained. There's going to be some good shit happening. So I think that's at least what has me more excited about this pay-per-view than maybe some other ones where maybe the cards haven't necessarily had that kind of AEW luster to it. Yeah. I think this will be a great match, but it's crazy on a regular card. We would be like, wow, man, I can't wait for this. But when we go down the card, you'll see why. exactly. But I'll go with Combat Club.
Next one, Christian Cage defends his AEW TNT championship versus Daniel Garcia. Am I crazy for wanting Daniel Garcia to win this?
I mean, Daniel Garcia has been
crazy
hot.
For wanting it.
Yeah, like we all want it. Like Daniel Garcia has been, he's been very good
it
over
just
the
makes
past
sense
years.
To me. Like,
but he's not going to win. It's Christian Cage.
Does he still need the belt?
Cage?
Yeah.
He's without him having this, like he's bringing a lot to this title.
Yeah.
So when the title comes off him, it's going to mean something. So yeah, he needs the belt.
We're all in agreement.
The hateful energy is permeable between both WWE and AEW, between Drew McIntyre and Christian Cage has been doing it for 2 years. So like
hater of the year,
both of those guys doing really well with that gimmick. And it's just. And I do agree with you. I think that's at least what makes this match intriguing is I think a lot of people want Daniel Garcia to win.
Yeah.
I'm happy for him having this kind of, cause I feel like he was right there and then they just kind of took the rug out from under him. And he's literally had to dance his way back up the top of the card. Cause it wasn't until he started dancing his ass off that all of a sudden the crowd was like, oh wait, we really like this guy. Cause he's always been a phenomenal wrestler. He always has great matches. So this match will probably rule. And I think like Daniel's going to be super over with the crowd. So if anything, I think Cage wins in, you know, Christian Cage ways. And I think there's a good way to keep this momentum for Daniel Garcia.
Yeah. Sports entertainer.
Meanwhile, like Kel's showing off trying to drink this proper 12. I don't know why. Just leave it alone.
I've committed to it, Dre. Once I commit to something, I got to do it. It's
boy.
It's moving on.
It wasn't the greatest idea. Will Ospreay. Will Ospreay versus Takeshita is next. Uh-huh. I like the face off this week.
Yeah. Takeshita's a big dude.
Well, it's not like Will Ospreay's like the biggest of guys.
I'm just saying, like every time you see Takeshita go face to face, yeah, he's always like,
whoa,
he's a big dude. I'm gonna pick Ospreay. But I don't think I'd be surprised if Takeshita won this match. Yo. I wouldn't be surprised at all if actually Callis, because this is the way to really split Ospreay into his babyface role and have Don Callis cheat to win, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
Like, I'm picking Ospreay, but I could see the Callis family formally kicking Ospreay out, and now Ospreay takes on the Kenny Omega role with feuding with the Don Callis family. As long, you know it's going to happen. He's going to end up teaming up with Jericho at some point.
Don't do this to him.
It's going to happen. I'm just...
Jericho jail for you, Ospreay.
Yeah. I get it, because it's just like, how do we endear him to our core audience who may have never seen Ospreay, even though like
I mean
the core audience Ospreay, usually knows him.
Jericho's asking.
I mean that he is the core audience. I think
they pretty much know Ospreay, but it's
and
like
just, and he's been on AEW cards and he's done.
Yeah, but that's the key. It's just like, hey, how do we endear him as a full time? Put him with Jericho. And it's just like, fuck. Like, no, it's not needed. It's ridiculous. But here, I'm going to go Takeshita winning too. Just because it's a better storyline for Ospreay.
I agree.
To kind of have to overcome stuff. People just assume he's going to come in and win and wreck shop. And it's like, no, build some momentum. If he's going to be a babyface, because he is when he's first coming in, because everyone who debuts in AEW is kind of a babyface at first, then it's just like, yeah, like lean into it. Make him worth something and fight for something. Eddie Kingston versus Bryan Danielson. Cole, I'll let you talk first. This is the Cole match of the night, I feel like. Eddie Kingston versus Danielson for the Continental Crown Champ.
Just don't need a belt. Just let him go. Brawl. Just brawl. I mean, and this is going to be the great part about this too is, again, this is just going to showcase even more of the stylistic nature of Bryan Danielson, that it just doesn't matter what kind of wrestler he's going against and what kind of match he's got to do. He's just a fucking god at it. That's just what he is, right?
Do it
is
all.
It technical Zack Sabre Jr.? Bam, I'll give you a technical masterclass. Is it going to be a test of wills, dramatic storytelling match with a Hangman Page? Sure, I'll give you that. Or MJF? Sure, I'll give you that. Is this just going to be a brawl in your face? Just punch each other in the face over and over again? Yeah, and it's going to be sick. And I think Eddie's going to win this. Eddie's just going to keep riding this momentum with all these belts. God damn, he's got so many belts. We just hope, again, this is our regularly scheduled podcast call for Eddie Kingston to be in the main title picture, please. I don't care how. It's just that man needs to be going for that belt at some point because,
man,
when
he
does, that crowd is going to be so in it to win it for Eddie Kingston. So, like, I mean, he just, the second he comes out in any crowd, everybody fucking loves Eddie Kingston. So this match is going to be, God forbid they put, I mean, we're talking about these two matches back to back. God forbid they put them next to each other. That's a lot.
A lot for a crowd. Yeah. I mean, people have convinced me. I've bought in fully on the Eddie Kingston bandwagon. I don't need him to be champ for long. I don't even know if he has to win. Just give him like the feud sooner or later, please. Just put him in that title picture. I personally have been pushing for him to get the Mankind spot where he wins it one night. And then the next night, I don't care if he drops it, but just give him that one night as champion and everyone to go and lose their shit. But yeah, I agree with you, Cole. He's going to win. He's going to get the handshake. Yep. The handshake means more than the belts.
Yes, it does. The respect. That's what Kingston's looking for.
This is long-term booking because Danielson's been shitting on him for a long time.
Yep.
So I like that. And then Claudio would be the last one because their feud is everlasting. It's Peter Griffin and the Chicken. Timeless Toni Storm versus Deonna Purrazzo. Come in, wrestle, show out.
That's what's going to happen. That's
all I expect.
Tony's going to retain. Deonna's going to look great. And we'll move on. And we'll be happy with a great women's match.
Yeah, and then Tony will talk shit. And it will in Boston. And Mercedes will show up. Because every time someone makes a debut, your first feud is always for the title.
Well, maybe they won't do it for once.
No, they will.
100%. I mean, not with Mercedes.
With Mercedes.
Not with Mercedes. Mercedes definitely going for the belt, I would assume.
Immediately, because that's what Tony loves. And then Orange Cassidy versus Roderick Strong for the International Championship.
This is going to be a good match.
Some graps right here. Like, yeah. I'm just going to wrestle.
Like, Roddy can wrestle. Orange Cassidy's been showing his ass. Like, this is the match that these two look at the rest of the lineup and it's like, you know we got to do, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is that kind of match where they're like, don't get sunned by everybody else in this card. Orange Cassidy's going to retain. The Kingdom, that whole Undisputed Kingdom angle sucks. They have nothing to do.
It was voted the worst angle of last year was MJF versus the Devil.
It was,
and this is halfway because
there's nowhere for them to go. No. Like they got
Adam
rid
Cole's
of MJF.
Hurt.
Well, they got rid of MJF. Adam Cole's hurt. Who are you beefing with? Nobody.
Just stuck on TV waiting.
It was like the big reveal, ha ha, and it was like, there's another season? Like, it's, you know, it was the season finale, and they was like, well, how do we start next season? There's another season. No. Orange Cassidy will win, and I don't know what the Undisputed Kingdom does. I don't care.
Yeah. Roderick winning and them getting more belts would help, but he's not beating. He's not beating Orange Cassidy.
Yeah, that is why I would pick Roddy, just because I feel like they're going to do that to just, like, desperately inject more life into this. But yeah, it's been dead since Adam Cole's been... Adam Cole's injury is totally thrown everything off, and it could have been a more natural turn on MJF without all of this Devil nonsense.
Why do he's had the worst luck, yo? In AEW, Adam Cole has had the worst.
It's been pretty luck. Shitty. But the question that I have, and then we can move on because we only got a few minutes left. Why would you bring Cole back if you knew he wasn't ready for this particular,
or if you didn't have like a better plan?
Like, obviously MJF was nursing injury, so you had to move, but y'all should have just had Samoa Joe just beat him.
Yeah.
And still not reveal the devil or something, right? Like, MJF doesn't even have to wrestle. But the way they did this made you think, oh, well, Adam Cole's got to be close to coming back. No, he's not. This is stupid.
Yeah, they pulled the trigger just because they had to pull the trigger with MJF.
Yeah.
And MJF was going to be gone. But I would have just let them both be gone for a second.
Yeah.
And then you pay it off when they come back. Like, you just, the devil disappears.
Like, you reveal the group, and then the group has nothing to do.
No. A group isn't what they are without their leader.
No, Wardlow just goes out there and squashes people, and he's like, I don't know what I'm doing here. Like, so
Cole's
all
like, he's going to bring me the championship. No, he ain't, Cole. No, he ain't. And then next up, I think that's going to be main event. So, Samoa Joe, Hangman Page, Swerve.
Can we talk about how good Hangman Page faking the injury was? And then nailing Swerve with a crutch? Which also, whether they did it, they had to do it on purpose. They know Swerve is over, but this cemented it.
Yeah.
Because that was the chicken shit thing that Hangman did. And now you cemented that Swerve's the babyface, which now tells me Swerve's not winning this match.
Is Swerve the babyface?
In this trio? To me, yes. And not as an actual babyface, but on a Stone Cold level type of babyface. Yeah,
they're all tweeners.
Crowd is going to want Swerve to win this match.
All three are tweeners.
They are, and I know you believe Swerve's time is right now. It's not. It's not.
He's more.
Him losing this match and is not being him, and Hangman can lose this match. Like, Swerve can become within an arm's reach, and that crowd is going to be nuclear for Swerve as he chases the title. Because he's going to win. When he wins it, it'll be in a singles match. It's not going to be a triple threat. So Samoa Joe's going to retain. Hangman's going to be the one to get pinned and ruin it for everybody. But the way they've gotten here has been fantastic. Swerve is over. That what happened on Dynamite told, I was like, he's not winning. They really cemented the fact that he's the guy.
You saying that, I don't want to agree. Because it's Swerve's time right now. Mm. But it's more meat on the bone.
Yeah, you got time. And double or nothing.
Double or nothing seems like the logical place for him. Because this told me, above all else, Hangman's taking a pin.
Yes.
Like, he's eating in wrestling logic.
He's getting choked out.
He got his moment. This was his moment.
Yeah.
He's taking a pin. And do you want Swerve to win the belt pinning Hangman? I understand they have that history.
No.
No. He's going to be overly emotional with Hangman. It's going to cost him. And Joe, the wily veteran, going to take advantage of it and beat Hangman. Swerve's going to be like, fuck, I didn't keep my head. I let him get into my head, and it cost me again. And Swerve will keep chasing. And Joe's perfect. Joe's perfect where he could be face, he could be heel. He's just a badass. So it is what it is. And Swerve can continue chasing him. So yeah, I agree. Joe's going to find a way to beat and pin or submit Hangman.
Yeah, I feel like the role that AEW needs to keep, like, making sure that they have in their roster is the people chasing, like the chasers. Like, the thing is like, Hangman is in here again for a reason, because he's one of the few people that they've had that they can consistently go to be like, you're going for a title in a big spot.
Yep.
So they need to keep having those chasers. And I do think that it's going to be, the way to do it is have Swerve get agonizingly close and have it sort of ripped away from him. So it feels like, you know, again, it's like, I had it, but I didn't.
Yep.
And it's just going to keep him rolling. So especially, like, considering whenever MJF does come back and him and Samoa Joe probably have to do something, like, Swerve is going to remain
champ for a second.
Yep.
So
WWE made me wait a year for Cody. I could wait 3 months for Swerve.
Yeah,
we'll be all right. Main event.
Yeah, everyone throw the ones up when they didn't want it.
Yeah, yep. Main event: Sting and Darby Allin versus the Young Bucks.
Are we subverting expectations? Usually, you go out on your shield, but does the Sting retain the title and they just vacate them, and then they do a tag tournament for the titles, or do the EVPs just beat the dog shit out of Sting and send him home bleeding?
They pin Sting, but you don't know how much I popped.
Right. Oh, buddy.
One last time.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not even, I wasn't a little stinger. It wasn't me. I popped when I saw that video, and I was just like, you know what? They did it right.
They did. This is the send-off.
Yeah, outside of Ric Flair's retirement match, which ended up not being his retirement.
And Ric Flair's involvement in this
against Shawn. Ric Flair's still taking bumps.
You see them weak-ass punches he threw? They had to give him a low blow quick. They were like, stop.
Yep.
Yeah.
But he threw one hell of a chop. The punches weren't great.
The punches were like,
the chop never misses.
Then he fell, and I was like, don't break your Rick.
But it's one of those things where he came down for the rat. It's as well done as Shawn versus Rick, which should have been the swan. Or even Shawn Taker, which should have been a swan song, which was. Never saw Saudi. So it's one of those things where with Sting, like they've done it so well and it's so right and everything is so perfect. AEW couldn't have done anyone more justice. This will arguably probably go down as the best retirement stretch pro wrestling history. They haven't missed. There ain't shit they can do in this match to mess it up. It's been perfect.
No, and yeah, I think the Bucks will probably win. The question is, do they hang around to send off Sting like on a hug thing? Or they was like, yo, we just got to take all this heat as the tag team champions. You got to take all the heat.
Right?
And Sting's going to be fine with it. Take all the heat. Leave the ring in a bloody mess. Yeah. Darby comes. Flair maybe comes out. And then you do like the old curtain call.
He has Darby to hug.
Yeah.
You don't need to handshake and win because he has someone there.
We did our best.
To hug, to get the tear emotions, to pass the torch officially.
Yeah.
All you got to do afterwards. Give Darby the bat. That's it. After they leave and
that's like, smart. Yo, I'm done. That would be smart.
Hand Darby the bat. Yo, I'm done.
They're gonna people
go,
are going
go Darby, get them back. Darby, here's
then
a bat.
Darby better be carrying that bat for the rest of the fucking time.
For like 6 months. Yo, go get them for him.
Bro. No, like the rest of his career.
It's his bat.
I'll leave it at this. So we have the Bucks winning the tag titles. Yeah. The production team better be ready to capture all the tears in the crowd on Sunday night. Because everybody's going to cry. If they handle this the right way with Sting hugging Darby and, handing him the bat in the face paint and the slow walk out in the crowd, just a boo fucking hooing. Oh,
damn near crying now. It's not even the proper 12.
I tell you what, though, I would love one little touch that I don't think is really possible, but if there was any world that it could happen, they do all that and then it's like the lights go out. They turn back on and he's like back up in the rafters. I would love to see that like somehow he kind of gets back up and like that's like his go off at the sunset kind of moment where like Taker had like the lights go off and the hat and the stuff and this is in the ring. Like his thing has always been coming down from the rafters, but now he's going to go up into the rafters.
Give me the same kind of body like, double. Lights off, he gets under the ring, body again, double in the rafters.
His whole thing was like the mysterious figure kind of superhero kind of thing. So it's like a cool way for him like cowboy riding out of town on the sunset. Like that's that version of it.
Gives Darby the bat. Lights go out. He's in the rafters and Darby just points at him. Come on. With the bat.
Run. Waterworks.
Hit the watermark. I'm out.
And I will say, Sting is talking up some mad stuff about this. He is talking a huge game as far as this match is concerned.
He's pulling out every move.
He's been saving it up for this. So like we are going to get grade A Sting. And already Sting at this point, we're always like surprised. Like, what is he going to throw himself off of? We don't know. Oh God, he's definitely throwing himself off something in this and it's tornado tag. So, and plus Matthew and Nicholas Jackson as tag champions, I think there's some meat on that bone for that. For sure. So
I love it. Heat. I want all the theatrics. The Young Bucks have to come out in the Surfer Sting inspired gear though. I want to see them come out like with the tassels and everything. I just to troll Sting fans. Like there's so much that they could put into this. They're gonna go all out for this. So it's gonna be great. Can't wait to watch that this weekend. If you guys are on Patreon, join us in the Discord. We'll watch it, talk about it, chop it up on there.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
It's time to go back in time.
Oh my God, they are! That can only be one man!
Everybody's got a price.
It's time. When you need a helping hand.
Hey, what's up, Virgil, man? Thanks for joining us.
Well, this time when you need a helping hand, and it's all about that. Know what that is? Know what that sound is, right?
Hey, that's how you make an introduction right there.
That's fuck money, baby.
You
hear?
Yeah, man.
What's up, homie?
What's up? Thanks for joining us. We're going to get started right away, man. You got to tell us about this NWO story and how Ted Turner wanted you to be the third member of the NWO. You know, it kind of seemed a little out of place to a lot of wrestling fans. Why you? Why Virgil?
The head of the WCW was Ted Turner. So he had me on a Learjet coming out of Tokyo, Japan. He said, Virgil, I want you to be a part of the NWO. The part would be the lead member. So I couldn't be the lead member, while I was thinking. I said, why not be a cool brother and give it to Hulkster? Let him be the lead.
And you gave it to Hulk, and, you know, obviously the rest is history. They ran with it, and Hulk is the lead of NWO. What was your relationship with Hulk? Like, why'd you just, you know, serve that up to him? Y'all, like, close?
I was a technical collegiate wrestler, man. I didn't need that, you mean? So, why not take care of your homies, you mean? Give it to my man.
Virgil, it's Andreas. But what, if you were the leader of the NWO, what would it have done for your career?
I am the leader of the NWO.
Oh.
Okay, so you just did him a solid. Like Hulk needed it more than you, is what you're saying. That's nothing wrong with that.
It's all for the fuck money.
All right, Virgil, you got to tell me what this fuck money
M-O-N-E-Y.
Is. Talk about it. Where does it come from?
M-O-N-E-Y.
Oh, shit.
Talk about what?
The fuck money. Where'd that come from?
Fuck money. Where do you think it came from?
It had to come from you, right?
When I have an Olive Garden connected right to my house, I can walk out the back door right into Olive Garden.
Soup, salad, and breadsticks. All right.
Guess who all works there?
Who?
They're all 2.5-foot midgets.
I got to go to this Olive Garden, man.
They wear little G-strings around serving spaghetti with meat sauce.
Oh, Virgil, you got all
that 14.5.
Yo, my co-host loves midgets and dwarves. He loves them.
There are some sexy ones out there.
But these midgets and dwarves got that meat sauce over that 14.5. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
You got an interesting Olive Garden going on over there.
Right. I got all the agents helping with my calculation.
Interesting. I guess you're implying that Asians are good at math. All right. Yo, you got to tell us about your theory that all white chicks look the same.
Yeah, but that fuck money can make me play anything I want to play.
I believe.
Like a hokey pokey.
And turn yourself around. Goddamn, Virgil.
Yo, so where'd you get the whole...
You like that goddamn hokey pokey, don't you?
Hey, it's fire right there. Where'd you get the whole white chicks all look the same theory from?
Hey, all white chicks about the same. I mean, I ran through all of them in the Playboy. You know what I mean? They were dancing all over that 14.5.
Tell us, how'd you hook up with the whole Playboy calendar, Virgil? Was it about the money?
I guess I had sex about 1,700 of them.
1,700 of them?
Yeah, that's 1 year.
1 year. You're a busy man.
Yeah.
You fuck a lot.
Hey, when you got 14.5, the word gets around about you.
Apparently.
So they had to get in line. you know who was the one getting in line? Like a cafeteria, a menu. I'm on the front of a menu. Like a dicateria.
Dicateria.
For the long dog. hot dog.
Virgil, this is amazing. Who is the baddest Playboy model that you...
You ready to pay me?
What?
Are you ready to pay me?
Pay, how much you want?
Come on, talk up, goddammit, I got a bitch ass.
I don't understand.
Hey, I did pay.
You get that money, Virgil. You get that money.
Yeah.
Yo, so quick question.
Gonna see some money soon or what?
Yeah, you're all about that money. Do you still walk around with the $1 million belt?
I can walk around with any kind of belt. You're going to put that fuck money up, okay?
I heard there's a GoFundMe for your $1 million to get you to a mill. GoFund Virgil.
That's all you do. You can send anywhere from like a couple hundred to a couple thousand.
How's that going so far?
Pardon me?
Where are you on your goal to $1 million? Are people donating money?
Hey, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon, man. It's and you got to help the marathon. Okay? You be a part of the marathon.
We're going to tell our listeners to be a part of the marathon.
Okay. No, I'm just like Martin Luther King. I got a dream.
And that dream's to make $1 million.
Don't you have a dream? I know what you're dreaming of.
What? All that fuck money, Virgil. Goddamn, that's what we're dreaming of?
No, you can't go some old ass.
Virgil, you are amazing. What is your relationship with the Young Bucks? I got to switch it up real quick, talk some wrestling.
I'm the trainer, the coach, their aspiration. Whatever they're doing, it's me helping.
You taught them all their moves?
Friend. Huh?
You taught them all their moves?
A lot of them.
So the architect of the Young Bucks is Virgil. Yeah. You're the man behind the scenes.
I'm the coach.
I like that.
I teach him the fuck money way.
Yo, Virgil, it seems like you're the man behind the scenes of a lot of big movements in wrestling. Why do you think you don't get the credit you're supposed to get? Why isn't Virgil in the Hall of Fame?
Well, it could happen. Maybe I'm black. But
well, you are black.
I don't put that nothing, man. I'm just a light chocolate, hot chocolate. I'm fuck money chocolate.
Wait, do you think it's because you're black that you didn't get in the Hall of Fame?
Hey, I got some sweet ass T-shirts. Are you gonna put some money on them and get some?
I didn't even. What? What's the T-shirt say?
It said Ruffin Superstar Virgil with goddamn stars all over.
Oh shit! I like stars.
Now, you look good in that damn T-shirt.
That's some good merch you got there, Virgil. I ain't gonna lie.
Do what?
Where do we find this T-shirt? Where do people purchase this T-shirt at?
Pro Wrestling Tees.
Oh, I go to Pro Wrestling Tees all the time. I got to get this shirt. Represent for Virgil.
Well, go get about 4 or 5 of them. Shit.
Oh, shit. God damn. We're just spending money.
Yeah. And then I can autograph it for you.
We heard you're heavy in the Comic-Con scene.
I dabble in it.
You dabble? Where you at this latest Comic-Con?
Well, I'm getting to the rap game now, so, you know, what the hell?
Hey, what? You're going to be an MC, Virgil?
No. I'm coming up with a new fuck money song. Bop, 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 bop. Give me that money. Give me that money!
I think you could ghostwrite for Drake.
Hear that fuck money song?
Oh, yeah. I think you got it.
Like that. And then I'm going to have them sweet little white girls dancing right on your face.
Virgil, who'd you think...
Yeah, but I have fat black chicks and Asian hookers.
Who did you think won the beef, Drake or Meek Mill? Who do you got in this, Virgil?
No, the big black girls are all you can eat.
Oh, I believe it. Drake or Meek Mill, who you got?
Drake's cool, man. Real cool.
So you think he got Meek Mill in this beef? Have you been keeping up with the beef?
Meek is a J-Bro. Or Jabroni.
Jabroni. I like that.
Hey, you say it, then it's true. Meek Mill is a jabroni.
Thank you.
You're Team Drake. We believe it.
Are we done?
Well, last question for you, Virgil. I mean, you know, you came up under the $1 million man. Do you still talk to Ted? Have you talked to Ted DiBiase?
He's one of my best friends. I love him. I love the guy. He's a great guy.
Did you get a lot of shit from people who said that you were, you know, being a slave or Uncle Tom to him? Did you get a lot of shit from people?
You ever seen a slave of 14 inches?
No.
He's just like dragging two guys on the ground.
That's amazing.
I want to pitch a tune out to my right hand man with pipe, Rowdy Piper.
Oh, definitely, yeah. We talked a little bit about Rowdy already.
His family, all my condolences, man.
Definitely,
one of my right hand partners, man.
Yeah, he's one of the best.
Another guy forever, man. Forever.
Yeah, and you know, we've seen you come out and be outspoken about.
Only guy ever.
What?
He was the only guy ever to make me dress up like a girl. Remember? Rosalina?
Yeah, I do. What's your best memory of Roddy Piper?
Huh?
What's your best memory of Roddy Piper?
WrestleMania in L.A. I'm almost bringing tears in my eyes now, man. When Piper said, come on, Virgil, you can do it. You mean, like,
you can do it, I'm Virgil.
Looking at him, like, he believes in me, man. Man, you give me all goddamn water eyes in that, man.
I'm sorry, Virgil. See, we got to talk about a legend, man, from one legend to another. Speak on that.
Yeah, but he's a real cool guy, man. He was a great friend, man. A great friend.
Yeah, man. Thanks for joining us. You know, we had a blast. Tell everyone where they can find your stuff, man. We're trying to support the movement here.
Yeah, support the movement, man, and get them damn shirts.
Get the shirt, prowrestlingtees.com.
Yeah, get that fuck money, and you'll get one of them damn shirts. And then you can go out and get laid.
Yeah.
And so buy my autograph and put them t-shirts after you pay for them on a big fat black girl.
Got it.
All right. I want to make
sure. Follow me on Twitter, okay?
Yeah.
We'll follow you. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Virgil. Well, thanks for joining us, man. You made our day.
All right. Thank you.
What the fuck just happened?
Holy shit.
The Virgil.
Yo, the fuck?
I feel like the $1 million man up in this bitch.
That was
the greatest interview I've ever done.
It was the worst interview, but that's what made it fucking fascinating. I couldn't ask him about, after from the point that he started singing, I lost him. So, like, I was really, when I heard his voice, and fuck you for doing that, by the way.
That shit was amazing. I told you on last week's show, you guys heard it. I was going to get Virgil. I went and I did it. I delivered.
You might be a better booker than a co-host.
Listen, man. I want them. They come on the podcast. But I need you. You wanted Virgil. Here goes Virgil.
Yo,
you didn't get your picture.
I couldn't even ask him about Comic-Con because there was just no way. First of all, he wouldn't remember it. Second of all, like, did he ask? Yo, I asked him if he got made fun of for being Uncle Tom, and he said, you ain't never seen no slave with 14 and a half inches. The fuck?
Yo.
Listen, the fuck? Here's how we spell this, kids. D-A-F-U-Q. The fuck? The fuck just happened?
Yo, he got an Olive Garden with midgets.
And that was right up your alley. Did you tell him that you like dwarves?
He listens to the podcast. Fan of the podcast, the real Virgil.
Yo, he must. And then he said, I asked him what his greatest Roddy Piper moment is, and he said he was getting teared up, and he never answered us.
I guess he got choked up, man. It's a soft spot.
Virgil's amazing.
Virgil is a man.
Yo, fuck money. Fuck money. Yo.
He's like an onion. He has many layers.
He peeled all them shits off years ago. Oh, my
Virgil
God.
Virgil on the podcast.
Hey, listeners. I don't know if you find this as a treat. I don't know if you give a shit. That was legendary. In all the years, I've been doing journalism for a long time, and in all of my years, I've never done an interview like that.
Virgil, that's how we do it.
The $1 million man.
This is what the corner is for. When you were like, hey, let's have this podcast. It's for shit like that.
For Virgil.
For Virgil.
I grew up as a kid watching Virgil. And the $1 million man, when he brought, I'll never forget this, and everybody should remember this, when he brought the little black kid out and was like, if you dribble the basketball 10 times, I'll give you $100. And the little black boy got to 9, and $1 million man kicked the shit out of the ball. That shit broke my heart as a kid. But it really broke my heart to watch the black guy stand next to him and watch. I was like, hey, man, do something about this shit.
That's like his cousin and shit?
Yeah, I was
little
like,
Pee Wee?
Yeah, because, you know, I was like, yo, all he wanted to do was dribble the basketball. And Virgil was like, he was thumbing the money all mean. But now that we've got a chance to talk to him, yo, I said last week, you know, he's still in character. I don't know what character that guy is. Holy shit.
That's real life right there. That's what's crazy. That's Virgil.
Yo, I don't know. Man.
He was singing his own theme music.
He has fuck money.
Fuck money.
He said, I mean, come on, man. The dude just said he was supposed to be in the NWO as a leader. And
he's
had
the leader of
he
the
had
NWO.
To hand
Excuse
the baton
me.
Off to Hulk Hogan.
Did his homie a solid and told Hulk, yo, your career needs this.
Like, oh my God.
He should be a Hall of Famer. The reason he's not a Hall of Famer is because he's black. He said it.
He did say that. Now, mind you, there's other black wrestlers aside from him, but. And Virgil was never that good as a wrestler. He was just a guy, like Slick.
Yeah, I don't even remember him wrestling matches.
He did. When he turned on the Million Dollar Man, it was bad. And then when he was in the WCW, he was Vincent. Now, if memory serves me right, I don't remember Virgil being in WCW when the NWO came about.
There's a picture of him in the NWO.
No. He was in the NWO when it expanded to be like way too big. The
Wolfpack.
Well, no. When the NWO was getting too big before it splintered off and they had the black and white and the red and black factions, Virgil was part of that when it was like Scott Norton and a bunch of people you didn't know. It was like Wu-Tang when they had too many groups and shit. And you were like, who the fuck is that guy? And he was like, I'm affiliated with Wu-Tang. He's like, bullshit. And he was like, yeah, I am. I know RZA. And it's like, all right, well, whatever. It's the same thing. Like the NWO just got too big and at a certain point you should just stop caring because there's too many members. Anybody was a car-carrying member of NWO and his name was Vincent. And you want to know why his name was Vincent? Vincent Kennedy McMahon. I put that on everything. It's the truth. That's why they called him Vincent in WCW.
We should have asked him about that.
He wouldn't have answered it. He would have talked about his dick or something like that. 14 and a half. And it's like I wanted to pause him.
Specific.
I wanted to pause him, but then I don't think he would have understood that. Like, so it's like.
Yo, pause.
Yeah, pause. What? He said, yeah. Okay. You guys already heard the interview. We're just recapping this shit because it was ridiculous.
We can't believe this shit. I can't believe he came on the podcast.
Yeah, I can't believe you got him. Props to you, Kels, early birthday gift.
We appreciate you all. Feels weird. From the last time, Blue Wire Studios. Shout out to everyone in the booth holding it down. Everyone has been great. From day one when we got in here and met producer Cole, baby. To everyone who's held it down since and helping out the incredible people in here. Plenty more to come. I am optimistic on that. Whether it involves us or not, it has been a great ride in here. The podcast will go on. For us, year 9 going into 10, the old man is going to get way more grays in his beard. So don't worry about that. He's going to be all salt and pepper like Leonard Ellerby by the time this podcast comes to an end. So we're going to keep rolling so much more for us. In the meantime, check us out all our shows every week going forward. Check us out on Patreon. Thankfully, this allows us to do more Patreon stuff because we'll be recording from the crib at least for the next month. So that's going to be really fun. Going to load the Patreon with content. We appreciate you all. Follow us on all social media platforms. Wherever you guys listen to podcasts, like and subscribe. Again, become a member of the Corner Club on Patreon. Going to get a ton of content there. For myself, the old man Andreas Hale, and producer Cole. Baby. Till next time, we're out.
Peace.
Finish this proper 12.
Fuck that.